cleansing. Anthropologists have been able to help us even further by pointing out that the structure of Greek theatre really is very comparable to what we understand of the way that rites work for societies that usually involve people leaving society, playing a very different role during their initiation or their ritual, and then being reintegrated in a different way. Now, in a different context, in talking about religion, we've already discussed the way in which that works for initiation practices for young men and for young girls. In a way, we could say that Greek theatre is a safety valve for the entire community every year by allowing these performances to be put on. It's for that reason, then, that we end up with masterpieces such as the Oedipus Rex, a play in which a man unwittingly has killed his father, married his mother and fathered his own children, who are, of course, incestuously also his half-brother and sister. It is not that this in any sense happened in the Greek world, but rather that there is something deep in the human psyche. Freud certainly thought so and used the story of Oedipus to coin the phrase the Oedipus myth, that there is something deep and destructive in the human psyche, in the passions of the human psyche, that must therefore be laid out so that they can, in a sense, be controlled and people made healthier by laying out these problems. The range of issues covered by the Greek plays is quite astonishing. Not only these very human passions that lend themselves to psychological readings, but also dilemmas that are facing a community in transition. And to this extent, I think we should particularly pay attention both to the Antigone and to Aeschylus's plays in the Oresteia. The Antigone, you might recall, is a play in which a young woman is caught in a dilemma because her brother, who has died in battle, has been denied a legitimate burial. Is she to honour the demands of blood, which maintain that she should see her brother given decent burial, or should she honour the requirements of the state by obeying the ruler Creon, who has decreed that the brother shall not be buried? This is the dilemma of a community that sees itself as essentially made up of families in which family loyalty comes absolutely first, but a society that at the same time recognises that something more than family must hold the loyalty of individuals, namely the state. And if people do not believe in the state, then it cannot stand. It is a kind of social contract constructed out of our willing agreement. So in the 5th century, we have this real dilemma. I know my loyalty to the family, I know my obligations to the family, but what are my obligations to the state, particularly if they come into conflict with that of the family? One of the ways forward in exploring this dilemma was taken by Aeschylus in the Oresteia. And in these plays, as usual, drawn from the early stages of Greek myth, in this case dealing with the story of the return of Agamemnon from Troy, in these plays, what we find is a family dilemma that will eventually be resolved by the state. So, Agamemnon comes home. In a typical Agon scene, he is greeted by Clytemnestra, who says, "Please step down from your chariot." The king, however, does not want to because there is a rich carpet in front of him, and he feels that to step on it would be to pretend that he is some kind of Eastern potentate. So there is a struggle of wills between the two until eventually he does step down onto it. He goes off stage, and the next we hear is the sound of him being butchered in his bath. Now, this is a crisis within the family, of course, and it will be answered later by Orestes avenging his father by murdering his mother. But potentially, this cycle of bloodshed and of internecine fighting within the family could go on indefinitely. How, then, is it finally to be resolved? Will it be resolved by the cries of blood, by the Furies, the Erinyes, or the Eumenides, as the Greeks call them, trying to placate them, the kindly ones? No. Finally, in the last of the plays, it will not be resolved that way at all, but rather will be resolved by the goddess Athena coming down and saying that there will be a court of law which will adjudicate the matter. Now, that court of law that she appeals to is the Areopagus, and that is, in fact, a true historical institution of the Athenian state. So that what we find in that trilogy is a fascinating development, a dilemma about loyalty and a dilemma about human passion. being located originally within the family, but being resolved finally by an actual historical state institution.